joy. Now, over the past number of months, you know that we have been dealing with nine signs of the coming tribulation. There are things that are before us. I want you to know that these messages were not, have not been, and are not today messages of gloom and doom. They are messages of hope, peace, and security because of our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, the nine signs we've been looking at, what were those nine signs? Well, first of all, there was the four riders of the apocalypse. This is something that is coming. There is tribulation coming, and in the Word of God in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, we read about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And in reading about them, it talks about conquest, not only conquest, but war and famine, and also other activities that are going to take place, which are not going to be pleasant. These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We talked about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the coming world leader or world dictator. We talked about the false prophet. He is the world religious leader at the time. This is all during the tribulation, not now, leading up to that, but those were some of the signs. Then we talked about the martyrs for Christ. Now, you know that if we understand the chronology correctly, that the rapture will occur first, following which will come the tribulation. And the rapture takes every true believer in Jesus Christ out of the earth to be with Jesus. Those who are left behind are people of all sorts of religions, atheists, agnostics, any other religion but the Church of Jesus Christ. They will be left behind. Some of them, during this tribulation period, will come to understand, oh my goodness, I should have placed my trust in Jesus, and I did not. Lord, I hope I'm not too late. And then they put their trust in Jesus. They will be saved. They are not part of the church, but they will be saved. However, being saved, they may well become a martyr for their faith. And those are the martyrs that we talked about. That was scene number 1, 2, 3, 4. The next slide, please. Then we talked about the 144,000. God in his great love and God in his great mercy, even during the time of tribulation, will have his witness. There will be 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Judah. They will be 12 tribes of Israel. They will be proclaiming the gospel message, not only in Israel, but also throughout the world. Then there are going to be two mighty and powerful witnesses, probably Elijah and Moses, maybe Elijah and Enoch, but two powerful witnesses. They will be in Jerusalem, and they will be proclaiming the word of God. And believe it or not, there will be many people during that time who do not want to hear that message. They will be hearing it. And when they speak out against the two prophets, they will have power to call fire down from heaven to destroy those who are speaking out against them. Absolutely amazing when we think about it. These two prophets, these two witnesses, are going to be killed finally. And then their bodies are going to lay not in state, but on the ground, and everyone will see them. And then at the end of 3 days, they are going to rise and go up to glory, and the whole world is going to see it, and they are going to be absolutely amazed. The sad part of this is, when these two witnesses are killed, people are going to be exchanging presents one with the other to celebrate the death of these two men of God. They have no idea what they're doing. I pray that people that are part of this congregation, that we know what's going on. There will be people in our congregation and relatives of us and friends of ours and neighbors of us who have absolutely no idea all this is going to take place. And that's why it's so important for you and for me to witness to people so they will come to know Christ and put their trust in him. That's why it's important for us to memorize scripture verses. You know, there's a series of scripture verses replaced in the bulletin. And these are important. If you can just read them 4 or 5 times a week, you will find they will finally be in your head and in your heart. And the Lord will bring these to you at the right time when you're trying to witness to someone else. We then talked about the dragon. This is Satan himself being cast out of glory along with all of those who are with him. He's not in the throne room now. He has access to the throne room of God, but then he'll be kicked out completely. Then we talk, pardon me, about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is the mark of the world dictator. It'll be encouraged by the world false prophet for everybody to receive this mark, which means we're going to bow down to the world dictator. He wants to be God. He's pretending to be God, and he's going to do that. And the important thing is that no one will want to take this mark. Now, I say that because conversely, many will voluntarily take the mark. But if any become believers during that time, they will not take the mark. Will not take it, and I want to encourage you. If you happen to be left behind, do not take that mark, because that is swearing allegiance to the Antichrist and not to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I pray that none here this morning will be left behind, that we will all be taken up in the rapture to be with Jesus forever and forever. And then the next slide, please. The ninth sign was the Battle of Armageddon. And a number of weeks ago, we talked about the preparation, the place, and the purpose of the Battle of Armageddon. Now let's think about that for a moment, just a quick review of it. All the nations of the world will be involved in the Battle of Armageddon. They will be led by the Antichrist. Could we have the next slide, please? They'll be led by the Antichrist. And let us never forget that God has given his people certain insights into the future. That is God's word for us. It's amazing to me when we think about it. All these nations are going to be gathered around for the Battle of Armageddon, and yet God wants us to know. God's love is so great and so magnificent that he has informed all of his believers of things that are going to happen in the future, so we will not be taken by surprise. Now, if we think about it just a little bit further, there are millions of people who have absolutely no idea what is going to happen. And they're going to be caught up in whatever's going on at that particular time during the tribulation, and they won't know where to turn. But God's word is there. I think I've told you the story before. One of my professors at seminary, Dean Wilmington, Harold Wilmington, he used to take tour groups to Israel. And they'd visit places where there were a lot of caves. And then he would get the strongest guy on the tour group to take a Bible that was heavily wrapped in plastic and throw it as far back into the cave as they could throw it. Now, the reason for that is that there will be people during the tribulation who will be hiding out in caves, particularly people from Israel, hiding out in caves, and if they go in these caves, at the back of the cave will be Bibles with all the appropriate passages marked, so they will finally pick up the word of God and they will understand what is going on at that time. You and I know what's going to go on. We won't be here during that time, if I understand scripture correctly, but there will be people who will be. And if you have a Bible in your home, mark the passages. Years ago, I wrote a little article called "Should We Suddenly Disappear?" And I've encouraged people to put that up in their home. And it gives instruction to people what to do if they are left behind. At any rate, at some point, the world leader, the Antichrist, is going to confirm a covenant of 1 week. The covenant of 1 week really is a 7-year period. 1 day equals 1 year. So it's a 7-year period, and that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to sign this covenant. Midway through, he's going to break the covenant. But in the meantime, the people of Israel and others are going to think peace has finally come. But peace will not come. The world dictator, the Antichrist, will finally show his true colors. What do we know about this Antichrist? This we know. Next slide, please. Next slide. Next slide. Good. And we'll go one more. There we are. This Antichrist, he is shrewd. He is deceptive. He is empowered by Satan. He is false. And he is power hungry. And one item I didn't put up there was, he will be wanting people the world over to worship him. He will proclaim himself as God. This is the Antichrist. This is the coming world leader. It seems that the Antichrist will begin his leadership role somewhere in present-day Europe, possibly through the European Union. Then as a world leader, followed by another person, the false prophet, and they will be presenting themselves, or particularly the Antichrist, as God. Now, in Scripture, we find a description of this one, and the description is from Daniel the prophet, and Daniel lived some 2,600 years ago. This simply indicates yet again to us the authority of the Word of God. 2,600 years ago, Daniel the prophet wrote down a description of what this Antichrist is going to be like. Let's take a look at this description. We're going to find it in the prophet of Daniel book. I'm going to read from the scripture that's there. The king, that's the Antichrist, will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and say unheard of things against whom? The God of gods, the Lord God. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his fathers. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. Now think of this is his description. This is what he's going to do. He is shrewd. He is mean. He is contriving all of these things he is going to do to get people to come to him. Notice the last sentence, distribute the land at a price. I am really concerned about world leaders anywhere who try to convince Israel today to give up their land for peace. This is their land. The land belongs to the Jews. It does not belong to anyone else. It ought not to be given out to the Palestinians or to anyone else. It's territory belonging to the Jewish people. And every time that a leader in the world suggests that we divide up the land of Israel for peace, we do not get peace. It will not happen. Aha, the people will be confused during the tribulation, and they will think when this world leader finally signs this covenant that they will have peace. Ultimately, they will not. And we'll see part of that now. This morning, we're going to take a look at three points: the decision to fight, the disturbing news, and the descending Lord. This is toward the end of the tribulation period. The decision to fight against Christ, the Antichrist, that fight against the Antichrist. The Antichrist will think that he now has everything completely under control. He thinks that people are going to not only obey him, but also worship him. He has brought everything together, and he's very satisfied with what he's doing. But other rulers are now beginning to see his true light, his true intention, and they are being concerned about him, and they make a decision to fight against him. Let's look at Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 and 41. At the time of the end of the tribulation period, the king of the south will engage him, that is, engage the Antichrist, in battle. And the king of the north will storm out against him, the Antichrist, with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He, the Antichrist, will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Now, when you see the words beautiful land, you know that that refers to Israel. Who is the king of the south? We don't know. but it seems as though it might be a coalition of some nature of African nations. We also know who the king of the north is. We've talked about this previously. Probably Russia and Turkey and ancient Persia will all be coming down against Israel. Can you think of it? Israel being there. And then in the midst of all this, there's disturbing news from the east. What is that disturbing news? But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, the Antichrist, and he, the Antichrist, will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. His intention is to rid the world of absolutely everyone who does not agree with him. He is going to annihilate many, many people. Unbelievable, but true. The Word of God leaves no doubt as to the source of news. We read something about this in Revelation chapter 16, about the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Now, the next slide shows us the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Shared among Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Kuwait. That's the Persian Gulf, the blue section down in the lower right-hand corner. Now, what's going to happen is the Euphrates River is going to be dried up, and the kings of the east somehow are going to march up that riverbed, and they're going to move right into Jerusalem, right into Israel. And the scripture says that the river is going to be dried up. The Antichrist, the world dictator, is disturbed and extremely frustrated by this message. The massive army, maybe 200 million people, are coming against him. Up to now, he thought he was safe, but alas, he's no longer safe. Apparently, there'll be hundreds of millions of people involved in this great war. And in addition to all of that, the very demons of hell will get involved and gather people and armies for what John refers to as the battle of the great day of the Lord. Then one of the most dramatic events in all of history and all the future will occur. We are now at the end of the tribulation period. The battle of Armageddon, so-called series of battles, is almost to an end. And then something absolutely magnificent happens. What is it that happens next? The next slide, please. Next, there, the descending Lord, our blessed Savior, descends to earth. Now, what a day that is going to be. It makes me want to even stand up now and say, glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming back to earth. He's coming back to earth with all of the angels that are with him in glory. He's coming back to earth with all who have gone there ahead of time. We're going to come with him, and he is going to establish his kingdom here on earth. The descending Lord from heavens. We want to show glory, hallelujah, the Lord has come. And now let's look at a passage of scripture that we find in Revelation chapter 19. I saw heaven. This is John speaking. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe, dressed in blood, dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress with the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is none other than Jesus the Christ, the one who is your Savior, the one in whom you have placed your trust. Now, not only will he be coming with the angelic beings, but all the armies of heaven. This is when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords descends to defend and protect his chosen people and to put an end to the Antichrist. There's more about this. We'll pick that up at another time. The next slide, please. Next slide. We're reading this. Then the Lord, my God, will come and all of the holy angels, the holy ones. That includes angels and saints with him. Next slide. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God, our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones, angels and saints. Next slide. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones, angels and saints. Remember, next slide, the meaning of the word saint. Now, you know that there are certain denominations that have taken the right to determine whether or not a person, when they die, becomes a saint or should be looked upon as being a saint. We don't wish to go along with that theology at all, because Scripture tells us that saints are people who put their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You and I may not look like saints, we may not act like saints, but let me tell you something, you are a saint. And look at the person next to you. Look at that person. Would you believe that person is a saint? Well, they are. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and therefore we are saints. What's the next slide? When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the glory of heaven will be upon Jesus when he is here on this earth. Next slide. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Can you imagine what the world is going to be like when all of this happens? When Jesus comes, the people of Israel and the world over are going to finally see who the Lord of Lords is and who the King of Kings is. He is Jesus, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God and is God. So the one in whom we place all our trust, praise be to God, is none other than Jesus himself. So what's the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion is this. It's the conclusion of the ninth sign, conclusion at the Battle of Armageddon, the end of the Battle of Armageddon. He comes to save Israel. He comes to establish his kingdom on earth. Next. Remember, all true believers have been in heaven with Jesus for the past 7 years. During the tribulation period, tribulation here on earth, we're in glory. Next slide. Jesus will receive the command. He's going to receive the command from God the Father. Jesus is going to spring into action. All of heaven is going to hear and understand. We will be there. We will hear. We will understand. We will descend with Jesus, and we need to be ready. And is there a final slide? Next. That's it? That's it. Well, now, the reason why, I thought I was going to repeat another verse, but I am. So it won't be written before you, but listen to these words. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Now remember, this is Jesus. We've got them there. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood that represents his shed blood to pay for your sin and mine. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. I've said this before. We're going to be in glory. We're coming back with him. Did you notice it says, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean? You may never have ridden a horse before, but you will then. And it looks like it's going to be a white horse, and we're coming back with Jesus. Oh, glory, that will be. I think if you've never been on a horse before, somehow You will be strapped to this horse so you remain upright. But we are coming back and flying through the heavens. I don't know whether these horses have wings or not. I just don't know. In my mind, it seems wonderful if they do. In my mind, if they don't, they're going to be heaven-directed, and they're going to get from there to here, and we'll be with them. Amen? Amen. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of wrath of God Almighty on his robe, and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus. Can anybody say aloud, amen? That wasn't very loud. Father, we praise you and we thank you that you have given us a glimpse as to what is going to happen. We are the bride of Christ. Every person who's put their trust in you, Lord Jesus, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and you are going to look after your bride. We praise you, Lord. This world is going to enter a phase which they will not know what to do. They will try many things. But, oh Lord, even during this great time of tribulation, I pray that thousands, if not millions of people, will finally turn their heart toward you. Look to you, Jesus, as their Savior. Put all of their trust in you. And I also pray for this morning, for all in our congregation, that this very hour, if even one has not put his or her trust in you, that today he or she will do so. Because we know that from that moment on, they will be, like the rest of us, safe in the arms of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you.